So I have a question for our first communicants today. Who chose for you to be here, receiving First Communion? I promise, not a trick question. Jesus, exactly. In one. Can we have a hand? Thank you. Because that is, in fact, exactly what today's gospel tells us. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. The fact that we're here, the fact that that we are worshiping and praying together, the fact that we stand in this church Sunday after Sunday confessing the love of God is not primarily about something that we chose, but about something that God chose and is choosing in us. This is expressed perhaps most profoundly for most of us in the fact that when we come to baptism, we're not in a position to do any choosing at all. Most of us are brought into the church as infants, brought there by the choice of our parents, brought there by the love our parents have for us that carries us forward into faith. And we gradually come to appropriate that faith as our own. It becomes more and more integrated into our lives as we experience, through prayer and worship and community, the love that God has for us, the love that our family and friends have for us, and that continues to unfold in our lives. It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you to go and bear fruit that will last. That being chosen by God, that's one of the great mysteries of Christian life. Not that we somehow recognize that the faith is true and then manage to respond to it. Not that we achieve anything by getting to faith on our own and then God pats us on the head and says, congratulations. But rather, what today's gospel tells us is that our faith is first and foremost a response to something God is already doing. A response to the way God loves us, a response to the fact that God has chosen us and given us a mission, given us a call to go out into the world to go and bear fruit that will remain. The readings we're given today all speak to that truth. In the first reading, in the encounter between Peter and Cornelius, which has the background of this great debate over how the Gentile believers are to be integrated into the church. Do they have to first basically become Jewish? Do they have to be fully initiated into the Jewish religion before they can be brought into the Christian religion? The way that debate is resolved is not by the church thinking its way through it or talking its way out of it. The way that debate is resolved is that the Holy Spirit is given to everyone in the room without reservation. And basically, Peter recognizes, look, if God has already chosen these people, who are we to stand in judgment of that choice? In the second reading, from the first letter of John, we hear that the love of God is shown in this. Not that we have loved God, but that God has loved us. That it starts with God. And then, of course, in the gospel, we hear again, it was not you who chose me, but I who chose you. And this being chosen, this being loved by God, the second reading in the gospel, tell us over and over again, this is the very heart of faith. God is love. If you remain in me and you remain in my love, I will remain with you and you will remain with me and with the Father. But as powerful and as beautiful as those words are, I think, and it's perhaps especially appropriate to remember today on Mother's Day, that they put us in dangerous Hallmark card territory. Let me explain. One possible response to God is love is to start thinking sentimentally. To start thinking about things that are comfortable and warm and easily approachable. Basically, the kind of thoughts about love that make you want to sit there and say, "Aw, isn't that cute?" Whatever the love of God is, it is not merely cute. And if we go about thinking about love as if love is cute, as if love is something that when we say it, we suddenly know everything there is to know about God, we're going to miss the point. Because what happens both in the first letter of John and in today's gospel is that as soon as we're called to recognize love as identifying God, we are then told that the love we're talking about is more profound than we have imagined. We're told in the first letter of John that this love is the love with which the Father sent the Son into the world. We're told in the Gospel that no one knows greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And what Jesus is saying, remember, in this section of John's Gospel that happens at the Last Supper, Jesus is talking to his disciples about what he's about to do when he goes to the cross. That's the love he's talking about. And so we're in dangerous and I think sometimes Hallmark card territory when we think that the most mysterious word in God is love is the word God. When we think that when we say God is love, the idea is that we're supposed to know exactly what love means and then apply all that to God. I think, in fact, exactly the reverse is happening. When we're told that God is love, what's going on is we're supposed to realize that we might not know entirely what love means. That love might be as profound a mystery as the identity of God himself. And that what we're invited into when we are called to love God, when we are called to love one another, when we are commanded to remain in God's love, we're being told, this is a great mystery. Get ready. This is bigger than you had imagined. And I've got one example of this. An example that, although it's certainly profound for me, I suspect most of you, certainly the parents and certainly the mothers sitting out in this congregation, have an even more profound experience of. I was 13 years old when my youngest brother was born. And I can remember going to the hospital the next morning to meet him for the first time. And he was lying on my mother's chest. She was in her hospital bed. And I remember going up, just tall enough to sort of look over the edge and see his face. And as I looked at him, I realized, this is someone I'm going to love for the rest of my life. I hadn't chosen it. I certainly wasn't ready for it. I had no idea at that moment what it meant. But I knew it was true. As I've spoken to my own parents, as I've spoken to my brother, as he's had children, as I've spoken to friends who have had children, this seems to be an experience that's consistent across the board. That we find ourselves more deeply in love than we had planned for. More deeply in love than we thought was possible for us to be in love. And that the true meaning of that isn't given all in one fell swoop and certainly can't be reduced to a Hallmark card statement. That we find out in those moments that love is this great mystery that will actually give meaning to the rest of our lives. So that's my invitation for us today. When we say God is love, when we hear that the love of God is given not in our loving God, but in God loving us, when we hear that it's not us who chose God, but God who chose us, when we are commanded to love one another, that we not treat that as if we already know what's going on. That we don't take God is love as something that's supposed to make us feel like a warm blanket's been dragged around our shoulders, and we know everything we ever needed to know about God. But rather that we take God is love as the truth that it is, that love is also a great mystery. That love will be unfolded to us to the degree that we are faithful, to the degree that we are able to cooperate and respond to the invitation that God gives us. That love will open up, will deepen, that we will be allowed to enter in. And in discovering what love truly is, in discovering as we share at this table of the Eucharist, what it really means for God to love us enough to give His Son, for Jesus to love us enough to give His life. By discovering what love truly is, we will learn how to love one another, and we will learn ultimately the very identity of God.